We're here today taking the pulse of Tim Edens. He is an instructor here at Hamilton Technical College, but he also has a storied background in scouts as well. So we are taking the pulse of Tim today. And Tim, thank you for coming.
Oh, not a problem. Thank
appreciate
you.
It. So give us a quick little rundown of what you do there at Hamilton Tech.
I teach electronics, primarily right now just digital electronics, but I also teach the computer semester too, where students are learning aspects on just personal computers, PCs.
Sure.
So, kind of jack of all trades.
Yeah, how long have you been doing that with Hamilton?
16 years now.
Oh, wow. And how involved are you with our electronics merit badge?
I'm usually the one that teaches.
And it's been great.
The electronics one, the electricity one, the robotic one.
Let's talk a little bit about your scouting background.
Most of my life, all my life, I was a Cub Scout, Boy Scout, Explorer, made Eagle Scout.
Wow.
Worked as a junior assistant scoutmaster for a while. Took a break from that just because of time and place.
Yeah.
Started working again with Tiger Cubs in the 1990s. Ended up working with Cub Scouts. Took over as Cub Master.
Well, you had said something about working with Tiger Cubs in Japan.
Yeah.
How did that come
about? I'm retired from the Marine Corps, so at one point in time, I thought it was best I move my entire family to Japan. We just stayed there for like 6 years.
Wow.
We just stayed in Japan. In Japan for like 6 years.
Did you have a really good deal on housing or something there?
Oh, yeah. It was a great deal.
No furniture. They had to sit on the floor.
Yeah, we sat on the floor. So but it... That's where, so all my kids were kind of raised over there.
And no kidding.
My son got into it and started in Tiger Cubs, went all the way through. When we moved back here in 99, he got involved with the Boy Scouts here and went on to get his Eagle Scout. And that's been about 8 9.
And he was here in Scott County?
Oh, he was in Cross River.
Oh, Cross River in Moline.
Yeah.
All right. What troop was it? I know. The numbers run together sometimes.
I don't even remember. I can tell you what troop I was first in.
Yeah.
And I was in Troop 20 here, and that's when it was, actually when I first got involved, it was with PAC 20, and that was when it was still the Buffalo Bill Council.
Wow.
Even before it
that
became,
was out of the St. Paul.
That's
Saint
out of, Paul, yeah, St. Paul's, the Apostles.
They still exist. Yeah,
yeah,
still
they
have.
Still exist.
Yep.
Yep, that's where I went all the way through. It was Cub Scout, Boy Scout, Explorer. All
that's
all
great.
There.
That's great.
They, yeah, that PAC 20, or PAC and Troop 20 still are still around.
Yep.
Yeah. You know what? So your son, though, he would have been a Tiger Cub in the Far East
right,
area.
Right, the Far East Network, or the Far, what is it, Far East Council.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So was that with their military bases?
Right.
Yes.
Right?
So that for those who don't know, with all the military bases over in
overseas,
Japan and Thailand, Korea, in that area, those are all the Far East Area Council. The ones that are in Italy, Germany, that's a transatlantic council. So we do have American BSA councils, even though Japan has their own scouting program.
Yeah.
We do have American scouting councils that service Air Force bases or military bases in other countries.
That's
it
cool.
Made jamborees kind of interesting, too, because they'd have the Japanese scouts mixed with the American scouts and stuff. So they got...
What was their scouting program like? Did you know much about it? Did it look a lot different, or what was it?
Yeah, because as my son went through, I kind of stayed with the Cub Scouts and just was a Cub Master and then let him go on into the scouting program. And there was minor differences. We're on an island. It's a lot closer to the equator. They've never had snow. So when it came time for the sled race, it was interesting to watch them pull a sled on a beach.
That would be cool.
Wow. So part of Japan or again?
We were in Okinawa.
Wow.
Yeah. So little differences like that, but overall it was good experience.
You know, it's cool though that even if on the complete other side of the world, it's still Klondike Derbies.
Oh, it's still Klondike Derby. No snow, sand.
Yeah.
Well, actually coral, but
it's coral
works.
Wow.
That's cool.
So Tim, what got you involved at Hamilton Tech?
Mrs. Hamilton, president of the school, her father was really big into scouting, and she just feels it's her. So they didn't have any brothers, so it was always the girls involved with the Boy Scouts as he was going through, and you know, kind of. So she decided I don't know exactly what how it got connected, but with the electronic, we started with the electricity and electronics merit badge, doing those, and she was in full support of that and still is. And then we looked at going in and we did the robotics one. I think we did the first robotics one in the area, which was really interesting to do for them.
Well, it's huge, and that's a good segue because we are building up to our big event, big Cub Scout event, Stealth.
Yeah.
It's coming up here.
Which actually, when this airs, it'll be tomorrow.
It'll be tomorrow. Yeah. But really, that buzzword STEM is all over the place. Right. And it is right in the heart of what you guys are doing. Right. It really is. So are you seeing, aside from Scouts, are you seeing other groups, youth organizations coming to you and looking for some guidance in that STEM
I know,
field?
The Girl Scouts did a thing. Sure. I didn't get involved directly with that one, which is crazy because I have four daughters and one son. But they had one of the other instructors, his daughter was involved with the Girl Scouts, so they got really involved with doing the Girl Scouts with their robotic merit badge thing that they do.
Well, good. That's good. And I know the schools are all over it. I mean, I'm hearing Lego leagues and all kinds of stuff going on. It's just a huge, huge initiative right now.
Yeah, it's phenomenal what they're doing. And, you know, it's like when the scouts have come in for the electricity, electronics, some of them are so interested in it, and then there's the other ones that, well, yeah, I'm not my thing, but I'm going to do this, and which is nothing wrong with that. I mean, there was merit badges I know I did early on. But that's like I tell them, what you see today, maybe what you end up doing for your life's work the rest of your life.
That's
right. Know? So
what was your Eagle project?
When we did it, we didn't really have projects like they do now.
Sure,
I mean, it was not directly where you had a one project.
So it was kind of a culmination of
things.
And
you had to have so many hours of community service, and you did all these other things that you did. But it wasn't necessarily like a direct project.
Sure.
You know, I've seen a number of them. Some really, a friend of ours, his son, it was again, that was on the other side of the river, but he had put up, had gone around and redone the walkway around Prospect Park Lake with signs, what kind of fish were in there, and things like that.
Awesome. That's cool.
That is cool.
My son worked directly with Moline High School doing a project for them about cleaning up some stuff and doing some stuff, and then he was, at that point, was really into welding and stuff, and he had made this big M that they still have.
Really?
A great big maroon M that they have in the middle of the building over there.
It's inside?
Yeah, it's inside.
No kidding. Wow. That's neat.
That he welded and painted and stuff.
That is one of the coolest things that I think about, this whole, the whole Eagle Scout rank and everything like that. Not only does it transcends, you know, the organization because you can put it on your professional resume and things like that, but most of these projects are pretty visible.
Yeah.
Right.
People see them all the time, and that is a legacy that you are leaving in that area.
Well, how many
in that
times
community?
Have we been out anywhere and just run into something that's an Eagle project?
I know.
Oh, yeah, you see it.
All the time.
All the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
We were just somewhere within the last couple weeks.
I was down at Monroe, and this wasn't necessarily an Eagle project, but it might have been part of one, but it was just a box, like a, I don't know, what do you want to call it? Just like a keepsake box or something like that. But it had a gold little embossed thing said Troop 89, you know, and I was like, that's really cool. Yeah. And it sits in the school, in the office, and people walk by and like, oh, yeah, that's from Boy Scout Troop 89, and this is who did it or whatever. We were at Bettendorf Presbyterian, I think. Weren't we there? And there was something that we saw there. There was some kind of project there, but all over. I've heard of the ones at Clinton High where they did the flagpoles and stuff. Yeah. And, you know, just really cool stuff. My... My grandfather, who passed about 7 or 8 years ago, the church that they attended all their lives, an Eagle Scout dedicated his project to my grandfather and put up the flagpoles and poured the concrete and put the in remembrance of Raymond Hildebrand or whatever, an Eagle project, whatever. So it's a legacy that's there for all time. And I think that is such a cool thing, such a cool thing.
Well, so you teach at Hamilton Tech?
I teach, if you can call it that. It's enjoyment. It's a passion.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a passion.
Doesn't feel like work, does it?
What classes, what courses?
Currently I'm teaching digital electronics, both night and day classes, come this next semester start up, I'll be teaching one of the computer classes.
If that's just sure. send back.
So okay. I have taught the basic electronics class before, and who knows, maybe one of these days down the road I'll have to do that again. So.
Well, we've got some questions that we ask all of our guests.
All right.
The first one is, what is your favorite current TV show?
Favorite current TV show? Oh, that'd be a tough one. No, not really. Big Bang Theory.
Yeah. We've gotten that one a couple of times. Yeah. That's a good one. Yep.
I guess maybe right behind that might be NCIS. Unfortunately, I don't get to see the new episodes because I'm working at night.
Yeah. So now, do you like Big Bang Theory and NCIS based on the science aspect of it? Or where it's like, you know, you see some similarities maybe with your own life, or is it...
is there connections that you've got there?
I think with the Big Bang Theory, it's more just the way the cast works together.
Yeah.
It's humorous.
Yes.
And they work really well. Now and then a show will come along where they work together well like that, and you see that, and... Some of it's the science. I see it from a science point of view, too. Some of the things they talk about that some people might not catch, but the overall humor. NCIS has got because of the tie to the Marine Corps and stuff.
Yeah.
And
I've heard that if you know quantum physics or even anything roughly in that realm, there's, like, jokes and stuff hidden on the boards.
Behind them and in the scenery and stuff like that.
There's lots of things like that. And you know, I look at the cast. I mean, the people that they get on there for guest appearances. I can't even think of another TV show where Stephen Hawking would make an appearance on. But he's done it on that one.
Yeah. They've had on. So they've had Hawking. They've had Bill Nye. They've had Tyson.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They've had Wozniak.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And there's other people that have been on that I can't think of their names. But there was an episode where someone was talking about the book they had written. And Amy and Sheldon, I can't think who it was, and Amy and Sheldon are in the audience, and he stands up, and he's saying that this guy's work is like the equivalent of a second grader, you know what I mean? Like, and they even had, like, guys from NPR and stuff like that, you know?
Sure, yeah.
So the people that I think it's cool when they're on the show.
And some of them, it's crazy, because I look at it, like, with the actress who plays Amy. I mean, she really does have her doctorate in neuroscience.
She's a neurosurgeon,
And like on NCIS I'm at a loss for words. Abby.
Mm.
Abby really is a forensic scientist.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that.
In real life, but she'd much rather act.
She's having more fun.
First season of Big Bang, they were doing like a quiz show, like a Quiz Bowl type
debate
tournament. They wanted a girl on their team, and someone said, we need to find TV's Blossom.
Yep.
Because she's a neurosurgeon.
Right.
Blossom plays on the show later.
Well, that's, I remember even like on NCIS, there was a little, there was some kids out playing football in the street, and Mark Harden picked up the football, and he's waving them out farther and farther and throws it, and it was like the rest of the actors didn't even know that, and when you look at it, he was all American.
He
took UCLA to the bowl game twice as the quarterback.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, and his father was like, what was it? One of the big football stars.
Kidding.
Yeah, college
level. Mark Harmon. I'm going to have to look him
up.
I know who he is, but I didn't know he played football.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
He took UCLA twice to bowl games as a quarterback.
Wow.
And they were like looking at him like, you can throw a football? Like that?
They had no idea.
Well, then our second question. If you had to start all over and you're doing things all over again, you can't do what you're doing now, what would your dream job be?
Retirement. No. I'd probably stay in the electronics field just because it's a passion.
Sure.
What aspect of it, I don't know. I've always enjoyed hands-on with the stuff, fixing stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, over the years, I've run sections where I've had technicians and repairmen working for me, but I've always enjoyed more where I had hands-on.
Had to do it, yep.
Yeah, where I got to do it.
So you got your training in the Marine Corps then?
In electronics?
Okay.
Part of it was from before that.
Sure.
Part of it afterwards, but part of it in the Marine Corps.
Sure.
And that's not, I mean, I went to St. Ambrose. I was a criminal justice and sociology major, but I ended up going into electronics because they thought I
had an affinity.
Yeah, they thought I had an aptitude for that so than going into like criminal investigation or something.
Sure. So. They wanted to keep you from investigating people.
Yeah, no, let's keep this guy in the line.
Yeah. And, you know, jobs change off and on. You know, there was other things I did in the Marine Corps. You know, some of them were electronic related for the most part. But
well, thank you for your service. I appreciate that. I know Andy does, too. I mean, that's just, you know, the armed forces is something that we truly appreciate, you know, with the Boy Scouts especially.
It's amazing how many people, like, in the military, were in the Boy Scouts.
I know, I know. It's amazing. It almost goes hand in hand. Almost.
Almost.
Well, it's and I don't even know how many people in Boy Scouts know it. Like, that was what was so nice about being overseas with them. And I knew it when we were in Southern California that way, too. The Marine Corps, by directive, one of their former commandants gave them a directive that if the Boy Scouts need anything, whether it's tents or whatever, and they have the assets to provide at the time, they're required to do it.
Wow.
Wait, how do we get hold of this guy?
No, I mean, it's been that way for years and years. This is going back like probably 60 or 70 years ago.
Wow.
That he gave the Marine Corps directive that if they can support it, if they have the assets available and can support it at the time, the Boy Scouts need something, here you go.
Wow.
Huh.
Well, we've got several
Marines
people on our staff, but we do have people that served in the armed forces. So that is it's really cool.
And I didn't even realize it. I mean, years ago, one of the projects I was doing community service with for something. It was down in the West End. It was like a nature park or something. It's on the West End. This is going back into the early 70s, late 60s. And it didn't even dawn on me that the Marine Corps reserves are the ones that provided all the support to get everything there, all the tools and everything to do it. And it didn't even dawn on me until much, much later when I found that out.
Wow. That's cool.
Tim, as an electrician, what side do you take in the Tesla versus Edison debate?
Oh, you don't want to go there.
Is that a whole other podcast?
Tesla won. You know, Thomas Edison was a genius, you know, electronic and electrical genius, but Tesla was too, and there was a big debate. And if Edison would have won, he was a very shrewd businessman, and we'd have had to have power stations in, like, for every 10 houses.
Yeah.
But since he had a monopoly on the generators, he would have stood to make forever amount of money.
Yeah.
You know, I know if you look at the history of it, when Chicago had the World's Fair, Tesla and Edison.
Yeah.
Westinghouse actually was working with Tesla, put in a bid to light the whole World's Fair. First time they had lighting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Westinghouse and Tesla won, and Thomas Edison filed suit and said they couldn't use his light bulbs. So within a 6-month time frame, Tesla devised a new light bulb that wouldn't infringe on the patent.
Wow.
And George Westinghouse went in and they produced it with his factory, and it's now what we have is fluorescent lights. They've been modified. He designed them for that.
That's awesome.
Wow.
But Edison was a shrewd businessman. He did a lot of things that were, I want to say, wouldn't be business ethical at the time. But, you know, he wanted to make his money too.
Yeah, I've been reading a book on the World's Fair. That always fascinates me, whole thing. And so, interesting.
What was it, 1908 or something?
No, it was 1890.
Or 1890. Yeah, it was right the turn of the century.
Turn of the
lights
century,
first
right
came
before
out, but
right before
Edison wasn't going to let them use their light bulbs. His light bulbs.
That's awesome.
Well, Tim, if you could have dinner with anybody, famous or dead, alive, fictional, could be anybody, and you're going to have dinner with them, who would you meet and what would you eat?
Oh, that's a tough one. I mean, as far as who I'd want to have dinner with, God, I don't even know. I really don't.
Well, what would you eat?
Yeah.
Oriental food.
Yeah?
I love Oriental
food. Is that based on your time in Japan? Or
yeah, I kind of fell in love with it. The first time I went to Japan was 1980 time frame, and I just kind of fell in love with it. A lot of people, you know, they have to, with the Marine Corps in particular, maybe one out of every 5 years, they go to Okinawa and then they come back. And I was trying to do just the opposite.
Well, is there any places around here that have really good
Japanese food?
Yeah.
I haven't found one yet.
No, I haven't found one. It's kind of hard in the Midwest, in Iowa,
even
to have
anywhere
anything
in the,
comparable.
Even anywhere in the States.
No kidding.
Even anywhere
you
in
mean
the States.
Like P.F. Chang's isn't comparable?
No. You know, all we've gone to a lot of them. My kids love Oriental food, too.
When you're over in Japan, are you like, I'll have the Mongolian beef with fried rice?
I can tell you where there's a place with Mongolian beef. I know two places where the one place actually is using... The woks are made out of like 55-gallon drums.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, the tops of the woks. Oh, when you cook it, it's just... Yeah, it's called Genghis Khan's.
Yeah, that's Genghis in America? Khan's?
No, it's in Japan.
Oh. Genghis well, next Khan's. Time I'm in Okinawa.
Yeah. Well, you could go over and visit, you know, the Far East district and check
there
everything
out. There we go.
Right, there we go. A job there.
Well, they've got Scout.
Yeah?
Scout. Yeah, they have.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was actually in one of my trainings. I was with a guy from... Far East Council, so
yeah,
that's cool.
Rock and roll. Well, Tim, thank you for being a guest with us today.
Oh, thank you.
This is part of our STEM. This is the last part of our STEM series leading up to our event Stealth, which we have tomorrow. Tomorrow, as of this airing.
Right.
But thank you for being a guest with us today, and thank you for all the work that you do with our merit badge clinics at Hamilton Tech, because that is a huge benefit that we have in this area.
Looking forward to doing the next one. So I don't know. I don't get involved in. They just say, "Can you do it here?" And I go, "Yeah, I can do it."
Hey, thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Nice to.